on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to the Rosie on the House weekly radio broadcast. We come down here every Saturday morning for you, the Arizona homeowner, to talk about anything and everything as it relates to your house, home, castle, and cabin on this statewide broadcast. And we always start off in the garden. Mr. Harper.
Well, your topic was territorial, I believe, today,
and,
right?
And here's how territorial we are today.
How are we?
When you think of territorial housing, what city do you automatically think of as an example in Arizona for Santa Fe-style homes?
What city? I guess the old Pueblo.
And that's where Rosie
How's
is
that?
Right now. So he's actually in Tucson with a couple guests that are expert on restoring old Pueblo homes. So he'll be joining us with local experts that are regionalized specifically for that type of territorial style home.
So in our never-ending quest to try and tie the garden topic or tip with the show topic of the week, I thought we'd talk about kind of xeriscape plants that do well here, but plants that do well here in the wintertime. A lot of our xeriscape type plants, our heat-tolerant, desert-native adapted plants, don't actually maybe perform as well in the wintertime. They do okay, but they aren't blooming, or they may be partially deciduous or kind of dormant. But there are a number of things out there, and it's actually a pretty good tool in your landscape planning to try and think about when things bloom, when they perform well, so you have some stuff going on in your landscape year-round. Well, things that bloom this time of year, penstemons are starting to bloom. The tuberoses are blooming. A couple of the different emu, like the bird EMU, emu varieties, the yellow one in particular, is in full bloom. The one that has been trademarked by a couple of nurseries called Valentine, or the red emu, always blooms about Valentine's Day, so it's blooming. If it doesn't freeze real bad, purple lantana performs better in the winter than some of the other varieties of lantana. It loves the cooler weather. It blooms good in the weather. The Mexican bird of paradise, the yellow-blooming evergreen bird of paradise, is blooming this time of year, as well as the cascalote. So there are a number of territorial or very locally adapted plants that really do well in the landscape this time of year. And, of course, wildflowers. We always get people coming in this time of year, I want those yellow and orange flowers. Where can I find them? I said, they're on the seed rack, and you're about 2 months too late. So if you had sown poppies and African daisy seeds during the fall and early winter, with the amount of rain we've had kind of scattered out since really going on late summer and into the fall and winter, you'd probably have some really nice blooming wildflowers in your landscape as well right now.
Now, have you seen any of those? I don't know that I've noticed the wildflowers yet.
We were on a little hike Wednesday in the Phoenix Mountain Preserve, and the first I took a picture of it. I found one poppy that had started to bloom. There's a bunch of them coming up.
So they're close.
So here in another couple weeks, especially with weather like this.
I've seen a couple yardfuls.
Yeah, in the landscapes, yeah. A lot of, especially African daisies.
Mm-hmm.
But the wild poppies are just going to be starting.
It is going to be a beautiful spring out there.
When we get Rosie on the line here, we're repositioning a satellite in geosynchronous orbit to bring him in. But I bet you on that drive down, if anyone has a good firsthand look.
Well, I bet it's green.
Around Picacho.
Yeah, I'll bet it's green, whether it's started to bloom yet or not. But the desert is spectacular. I mean, places, even the old Phoenix, like North Mountain and South Mountain, you know, that are just basically rock piles, you know, that hardly anything will grow, are green and growing, you know, some of the little cheatgrasses and different things that are coming up. So
I know a lot of people weren't expecting rain when they came into town last week for the golf or the football or whatever it was, but it's a special time when you can smell the creosote in the desert.
Well, and especially when we get those winter rains that are just slow and steady, and they don't, you know, we don't have like the summer monsoons, you know, the wind tearing things up and knocking stuff down. It just kind of fell at a steady, gentle pace all day long really soaks in and does a lot of good.
So territorial style landscaping. We also are here for the homeowners, and you can participate by dialing 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And to take it even farther today, we have special guest Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau in with us today. Julie, take it away.
Hi, how are you? I'm excited to be here. We're going to be talking about the Mediterranean diet.
The Mediterranean diet.
We have...
Tie Mediterranean and desert together very well.
In fact, you can find the Mediterranean in the Arizona desert, believe it or not. Last week, I was at U of A giving a presentation on how so much of our agriculture in Arizona aligns with the Mediterranean diet food pyramid. And the reason people are interested in that is because, believe it or not, as a diet, it's healthy for you. And so they've been doing a lot of research, and our U of A professors are really talking about it a lot. Again, U of A being our land-grant university. So we're kind of highlighting how these different layers of the pyramid align very closely with what we do in Arizona agriculture here.
So take me through what that food pyramid looks like. Is it something that you're going to get through? I'm just going to be like, okay, well, I can't eat anything now.
Well, you have to start off with a wine, and we produce a lot of wonderful Arizona wine here. So that's part of the Mediterranean diet. But basically, it's high consumption of fruits, vegetables, breads, and other cereals, potatoes, beans, nuts, and seeds. Olive oil is a very core main ingredient in the Mediterranean diet, and we even raise olive trees and produce olive oil here. Everybody's probably heard of Queen Creek Olive Mill. So we have just a wonderful array of our ag production that aligns with this very healthy diet, believe it or not.
And that Queen Creek, are they still in Maricopa County? Because I know you can't plant fruiting olive trees anymore in Maricopa, but I don't know that there's any other county that has restrictions on that.
Pima
does too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's where their orchard is. And they have 4 retail locations, by the way. One all the way in Tucson. We've got, obviously, the Queen Creek, where the base of operation is, so to speak. And then they've got one in Phoenix, and I believe also a retail outlet in Scottsdale. So
I have never been because I don't get out to Queen Creek often, but I've always wanted to go check it out, hear wonderful things. But I didn't realize they had 4 retail locations as well.
They do. I think the newest one they opened was in Tucson. But, you know, when you consider the Mediterranean diet and when extra virgin olive oil is core to that ingredient, and you can get some Arizona olive oil. It's just a neat thing to be able to celebrate in our state because you localize something that's very international. It's a Mediterranean diet, and yet here we can make application to it because of our diversity in agriculture.
Well, very good. So we appreciate you joining us today to help us educate us on the Mediterranean diet. We have a recipe for everyone that we'll start with the name and the ingredients, and then throughout the broadcast, we'll talk about the preparation side. So
perfect.
What is our recipe for our Mediterranean diet?
Well, this one is a leg of lamb, and you can go to Fill Your Plate. Fillyourplate.org is where it's at. And the name of it is the Basque barbecue leg of ram. It's that might be a little tough. If it was a ram, but Carmen Aza has provided the recipe, and she's one of our ranchers here in the valley. Her and her husband, and they've raised lamb and beef and all sorts.
That
of
was
stuff.
My next question.
Yes.
Where do you get the lamb?
Well, what's fun is if you go to Fill Your Plate and you source for by ingredient, say for instance lamb, up will pop some of the direct market farmers that will sell you lamb. And so there's a real good synergy there, and you can find out where you can purchase the lamb directly from the rancher, or in this case, a lamb farmer, so to speak.
And where are they located?
You know, they're all over, and they don't have a specific location, but some of our other direct market farmers, when you contact them via their websites, they'll either deliver or they'll let you know where the drop-off locations if you purchase.
You know, our state has a long heritage of sheep herding and sheep ranching. You know, the sheep bridge on the Verde River was built when they drove the sheep to and from the summer range in the mountains back to the valley and back and forth. So, yeah, a lot of old traditional.
And that bridge is still there, as far as I know. It's been about 3
second
years
or third
since
generation
I've been back
of
there.
It. I think it's been rebuilt a couple times, actually. Yeah.
So if you're in an adventurous, I've never been up through the Horseshoe side. I've always been off of the Table Mesa side or Bloody Basin, where you would take Bloody Basin off of 17 and drive east until you run into the river. But that last bit of that road, about the last, I'm going to say, well, the descent from the top down to the river, let's just call it 3 miles. That takes as long as the 20 miles leading up to it.
Can't be in a hurry.
Bring your four-wheel drive. But that's a great place. The river runs year round. There's a hot spring there that you kind of got to look around for it a little bit, but it's there. And then you've got
the Sheep's Bridge. Hot spring, take your Mediterranean picnic.
There you go.
Yes, with your olive oil and your olives
and
cheese
grapes
and breads.
Yeah.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the broadcast, we're talking landscape and gardening. It's getting pretty close to planting season. You had mentioned last week that all these things coming together with the Super Bowl and the Phoenix Open and everything means it's time to plant tomatoes.
Yeah, and you know, talking about Mediterranean diet, this is, you know, we're planting grapes and peach trees and, you know, all the deciduous fruit trees and tomatoes and peppers. Last weekend was the first weekend they were available. They're out now. And, of course, if you want to learn more about that and how to have a water feature, which is also very Mediterranean, we've got our hot dogs and horticulture at 10 o'clock today with a pond gnome.
And that's at where?
At our Hayden location, at 2529 North Hayden Road, Harper's Landscape Center, just south of Thomas. 10 o'clock, and then we'll feed you a maybe not so quite Mediterranean hot dog for lunch.
It will pass, I'm sure.